Okay, picture this. It's 4:17 p.m. on a Friday.
The classic scenario.
It really is. The energy in the office is, shifting. You're watching the clock. You're thinking about the weekend. But there's one last thing. Payroll.
And it has to be processed before the bank cutoff at 5:00 p.m.
Exactly. The accounting team is completely focused, heads down, just trying to get that batch file uploaded. And then the whole room just goes silent.
The screens freeze.
Not just a little flicker. We are talking the spinning wheel of death. QuickBooks is completely unresponsive.
The network drive disconnects.
And all of a sudden, that relaxed Friday feeling turns into just absolute panic because now you're not fighting the clock, you're fighting your own infrastructure.
And that's the moment right there where the whole modern business model for IT support gets put to the test. It's the Friday afternoon nightmare.
Right. So in this nightmare, most businesses do the standard thing. You grab your phone, your heart rate's already climbing because you know people's paychecks are on the line,
Oh, yeah.
and you dial the support number for your IT provider. And this is really where our deep dive starts today. We're looking at two completely different experiences that can happen next.
And the difference is,
Yeah.
it's just huge. In the first scenario, let's call it the legacy corporate IT experience,
Yeah.
you dial a toll-free number.
The dreaded 1-800 number.
Exactly. You get an automated menu, you press one for English, three for technical support, and then you hear a robot voice tell you you're caller number 47 and the expected wait time is 68 minutes.
Which is, that's just mathematically impossible if you need to hit a 5:00 p.m. deadline. You're completely dead in the water.
Completely. And while you're on hold, listening to that looped music,
Ugh.
your team is looking at you for answers. But even when you get through, the friction doesn't stop. You finally get a human, and the point thing they ask isn't, what's the emergency? It's,
What's your 12-digit account number?
yes, and can you read me the asset tag on the bottom of the server?
I think we've all felt that exact frustration. It feels like you're working for them, not the other way around. So today we're digging into a stack of research that suggests this isn't just bad luck. It's actually a systemic failure of that corporate IT model. And we're contrasting it with what our sources are calling personalized managed IT. We're even looking at a specific case study from Orange County, a company called Technisian, to see how the economics and the logistics actually differ.
The key distinction here is really about algorithmic logic versus human context. That's the core theme of everything we're looking at.
Okay, let's break that down. Algorithmic logic. That sounds like a fancy way of saying you're just a number.
It is, but it's a little more specific. When you deal with one of these huge national IT providers, their whole business model relies on scale. They can't possibly know every client
Right.
personally. So they build these systems to triage problems. When you call in, your issue gets assigned a severity score.
Okay, but that sounds logical. Triage makes sense, doesn't it?
It does, in theory, but in practice, that severity score is assigned by a system or, a person who has absolutely zero context for your business. To a national call center's algorithm, a CEO's laptop crashing might look exactly the same as a printer jam in a warehouse. Unless you're paying for some ultra-premium tier, you're just a data point in a queue.
So my payroll emergency is just ticket number 4059 to them.
Precisely. And that leads directly to the stranger on the phone problem, which the research points to as a massive killer of efficiency.
Okay.
You wait those 68 minutes, you finally get a technician. But that person is sitting in a call center in a totally different time zone.
Yeah.
They've never seen your office. They have no idea what your setup looks like.
So they don't know the server is physically in the closet behind the break room, or that the cabling is a little finicky.
Exactly. Or that Jessica in accounting has a habit of kicking the Ethernet cable under her desk. The sources point out that for businesses in our focus area, places like Huntington Beach, Irvine, Anaheim companies are spending 20 to 30 minutes on every single support call, just establishing that basic context.
Wow, that's 20 minutes of dead air. 20 minutes where the problem isn't being fixed, the technician is just trying to figure out where the map is.
And usually, once they find the map, they don't jump to a complex solution. They default to the scripted response.
The classic, have you tried turning it off and on again?
It's a real thing. These are level one techs working from a decision tree. It's a cost-saving measure for the provider. They don't have to hire expensive engineers for the front line if a simple script can solve, half the problems.
But if I'm a specialized law firm in Newport Beach running complex software, a script is not going to cut it.
No. In fact, it can make things worse. And the final nail in the coffin for this whole model is what they call the accountability vacuum.
Meaning.
If you call back tomorrow, because the fix didn't work, you don't get the same person. You get a new stranger. You have to start the whole explanation all over again.
It's like Groundhog Day, but for IT support.
It is. The incentive for that agent is just to close the ticket. Their metric is time to resolution. It's a quantity game, not a quality game.
Okay, so let's flip the script. The counterargument in the research is this personalized managed IT model. And we're using Technogian, who's been in Orange County since 2000, as the case study here. So let's go back. It's Friday, 4.17 p.m. How does that play out differently?
In this model, the phone rings twice. A human picks up. Let's call him Mike.
And Mike isn't reading from a script, I take it.
No. Mike is part of what's called a dedicated technical team. And this is the philosophical shift. Instead of a random pool, you're assigned a specific team that learns your environment.
Ah, okay.
So when Mike picks up, he doesn't ask for an account number. He says, "Hi, Sarah. I saw the server alert trigger about 30 seconds ago. I'm already logged in."
Wait, he saw the alert before she even called.
That's the proactive monitoring part. He knows who you are. He knows you just upgraded your internet last month. He knows you have a RAID array that's been showing some early warning signs.
So he has all the context.
All of it. He skips that entire 30-minute discovery phase.
That alone could save the deadline right there. But the sources also emphasize another factor, especially for a market like Orange County, and that's geographic proximity.
This is huge.
Is it really, though? I mean, it's 2026. Can't almost everything be done remotely? Why should I care if my IT support is in Tustin or if they're in Texas?
For, 90% of things, remote is perfectly fine. But for that 10% of things that are catastrophic, geography is everything.
Okay.
The source material gives a pretty terrifying example. A ransomware attack hits a law firm in Newport Beach at 7 a.m.
Oof. That is a shut-the-doors level event.
It is. Now, if you're relying on a national provider, they might dispatch a contractor from a regional hub. Maybe that hub is in L.A., maybe San Diego.
With Orange County traffic, good luck.
Right. They might not arrive until noon. That's 5 hours where that ransomware is spreading, encrypting backups, and basically destroying the business.
And in the meantime, the personalized partner
is local. Technogian, for example, is based right there in the community. They know the traffic patterns. They get on site by 7:30 a.m. to physically pull the drives, cut the network connection, and stop the bleed.
That four-hour difference, that could be the life or death of the firm.
It legitimately could be.
It seems like we often forget about the physical layer of IT. We think everything is in the cloud. But eventually, there is a wire in a box somewhere that might just need a human hand.
Absolutely. And beyond just emergencies, there's the issue of vertical expertise. This connects back to the idea that a generic IT person just isn't enough anymore.
Define that for us, vertical expertise.
It means understanding the specific regulatory and operational environment of different industries. A generic provider fixes computers. A vertical expert understands compliance.
So if I'm a healthcare provider in, say, Santa Ana or Irvine,
you are bound by HIPAA, you have electronic medical records, EMR, that need very specific support. A generic tech might remotely access a machine in a way that technically fixes a printer, but in doing so, violates a patient privacy protocol.
Oh, wow.
A personalized provider who specializes in healthcare knows that's a complete non-starter.
Or a manufacturing plant in Anaheim.
Right. They might have defense contracts. That means they have to deal with CMMC compliance, cybersecurity, maturity model certification. It's incredibly complex. If your IT support doesn't understand the difference between level 1 and level 3 compliance, you could literally lose your contract.
And you mentioned financial firms in Newport Beach needing SEC record keeping.
Exactly. These aren't just technical suggestions. These are federal laws. The corporate IT model often applies a kind of one-size-fits-all patch to these problems. But regulatory bodies, they don't care about one-size-fits-all.
They care about specific adherence.
They do.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate for a second. This white glove, service-dedicated teams, local experts, regulatory knowledge, it all sounds fantastic. But it also sounds expensive. If I'm running a small or mid-sized business, my margins are tight. Can I actually afford this?
That's the intuitive assumption, right? That better service has to cost more. But the data really flips that on its head when you look at the total cost of ownership. The most expensive cost in IT isn't the support bill. It's the downtime.
Do we have a hard number on that?
We do. In 2026, the average cost of IT downtime for small and mid-sized businesses has hit $5,600 per minute.
$5,600. Wait, per minute. That seems incredibly high. How is that calculated?
It's an aggregate.
Yeah.
It accounts for lost revenue sales you couldn't make. It accounts for idle salaries. You're paying staff to just sit there.
Right. Staring at blank screens.
Exactly. And it accounts for reputational damage and the actual recovery costs. So if you go back to our first scenario, if that corporate queue keeps you on hold for 68 minutes, you've effectively burned through nearly $400,000 in value.
When you put it that way, the monthly support fee is, it's a rounding error.
It is. Yeah. The research indicates that businesses with personalized IT support experience 60 to 70% less downtime. So you're not just paying for a human on the phone, you're paying to avoid that $5,600 per minute burn rate.
How are they getting 70% less downtime? Is it just that they type faster?
No, it's a fundamental shift in the business model. It's the move from break fix to managed services.
Yeah.
This is really the economic aha moment of this whole deep dive.
Okay, explain the difference.
In the old break fix model, the IT provider charged you an hourly rate to fix things when they break.
Okay, that sounds straightforward.
Well, think about the incentives there. If your system is stable and it never breaks, they make $0.
Mm.
If your system is a chaotic mess that crashes every single week, they are billing you constantly. They literally profit from your pain.
They have a financial incentive for my technology to fail. That's kind of disturbing.
It is. Now look at the managed service model, which is what a company like Technisian uses. It's typically a flat rate agreement. You pay a set monthly fee for everything to just work perfectly.
So the incentives are completely flipped.
Completely. If your server crashes, Technisian has to spend their own time, pay their own technicians, and burn their own resources to fix it. But they can't charge you a penny extra for it.
So they lose profit when you have downtime.
Exactly. So they are financially motivated to prevent the problem before it ever happens. They want your system to be boring. They want it to be invisible because that's how they maintain their margin.
And that's why they invest so heavily in that proactive monitoring you mentioned.
They're not doing it just to be nice. They're doing it because it protects their own bottom line.
That explains the emphasis on the quarterly business review I saw in the notes. I thought that was just corporate speak for let's have lunch, but it sounds like it's actually strategic.
Oh, it's deeply strategic. Imagine a marketing firm in Costa Mesa. They're planning to double their headcount in the next 18 months. A break fix person doesn't know that until you call them in a panic because you ran out of network ports.
Right, right.
A personalized partner sits down with you every quarter. They look at your growth plan. They say, okay, if you're hiring 10 people in June, we need to upgrade the firewall in April and phase in the new server in May. They turn IT from a bottleneck into a growth enabler.
That's a great analogy. It's a difference between buying insurance and hiring a bodyguard. One pays you after you get hit. The other one stops you from getting hit in the first place.
That's a perfect way to put it.
Okay, let's say I'm a business owner in Tustin or Lake Forest. I'm listening to this. I'm nodding along. I realize my current setup is that break fix trap, but I'm terrified of switching.
The fear of transition.
It's real. You have to hand over administrator passwords, trust a new company with all your data. It feels like open heart surgery. What if something gets lost?
That fear is exactly why so many businesses stay with bad providers. It's the devil you know. But the experts highlight that a professional transition isn't a flip the switch and hope scenario. It's a highly structured process.
The sources mentioned it takes about 30 to 60 days.
Correct. And that timeline is really important. If an IT provider tells you, sign today, and we'll have you fully onboarded by tomorrow, you should run.
That's a red flag. Why?
Because real due diligence takes time. A proper transition involves what's called parallel support. The new provider, Technisian, in this case, comes in and installs their monitoring tools. They document your network, they interview your staff, but they do all of this while your old provider is still technically active.
So there's no gap in coverage?
None at all. There's a knowledge transfer period. They don't take the wheel until they've mapped the entire road. It completely eliminates that hope and pray moment.
So if I am going to make this move, how do I vet these companies? If I'm interviewing IT firms in Orange County, what are the hard questions I need to ask to separate the real partners from just the salespeople?
The source material provides a great litmus test. There are four questions you have to ask. First one, who will support me day to day?
And you want actual names, right? Not just our team of experienced professionals.
Exactly. You want to know if you're getting a dedicated team or a random pool. If they can't give you names, it's a pool. Second question. What is your average first response time?
And demand the actual metrics.
Yes, from their ticketing system. Don't accept marketing fluff like "we respond immediately." Ask for the hard data.
Client retention also seemed like a huge indicator in the research.
It's the single most important metric. You want a retention rate of 95% or higher. The bad providers, the churn and burn shops, they usually sit around 60 or 70%. If clients are leaving, there's a reason.
And finally, references, but specifically references from my industry.
Right. Don't just ask for a reference. If you're a medical practice, ask for another medical practice they support, and then call that reference and ask, do they really get our billing software? Do they understand IT audits?
It really feels like the era of the generic IT guy is just, it's over. The technology is too complex and the stakes are way too high.
It's a bit of a paradox, isn't it? As we get more automation and AI in our businesses, the need for human context actually goes up. We have more tools than ever, but we need someone who understands how those tools fit our specific business goals. You can't automate a relationship.
Which brings us back to Technegian. They seem to be positioning themselves as that human solution across that whole Orange County footprint, Fullerton, Mission Viejo, Irvine, all the way down the coast.
They are. And for anyone listening who is, you know, wondering where they stand, the source mentions they offer a complimentary IT support evaluation.
Which is basically a health check for your network.
Yes. It's a very low-risk way to see if your current setup actually passes the test, or if you're sitting on a ticking time bomb. The source lists their number as 949-378-8499.
It feels worth the call just to benchmark where you are. Even if you don't switch, knowing your vulnerabilities is better than not knowing.
Absolutely.
I want to leave our listeners with one final thought from the research today. It's a bit of a provocation. The next time you walk into your office, look at your server closet, or just look at your workstation, and ask yourself, if that machine died right now, this second, would you be speaking to a stranger reading a script from 1,000 miles away?
Or would you be speaking to someone who knows your name, knows your business, and is already 10 minutes away with a replacement part?
In a world that's obsessed with AI and digital efficiency, it turns out the most premium feature you can buy is a genuine human relationship. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Here's to fewer Friday afternoon nightmares.
Ideally, none at all.
See you next time.